from the 11th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. It is often wise, to refrain from questioning God, and yet, while I am happy to discern that apparently God's plan is for me to be a guest preacher here at Holy Comforter every 5 years, it is somewhat disturbing that so many of you whom I saw 5 years ago look younger and more vibrant. And I do not. Perhaps I could join you on the road to good looks if I could just shake the compelling notion that a balanced diet means a donut in each hand. I am grateful to my dear sister Dr. Smith for the opportunity to be here with you this morning, just as I am grateful to God every morning that Shannon Johnston and Susan Goff are our bishops. Whether we know the sweetness of joy's caress or the crushing embrace of sorrow, whether our ship has come in or we await yet another tomorrow, whether we have more bills than money or whether the kisses of our loved ones surpass even honey, few words are to us of greater import than those we hear from Jesus as we reflect on St. Matthew's Gospel this morning. The Savior says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." And this is, of course, the good news. We have but to go to Jesus, and we will find rest for our souls, restoration for our bodies, and renewal for our minds. We go to Jesus, yes, by prayer and meditation, by quiet days and retreats, by fasting and by reading God's word, by receiving Holy Communion and sharing the peace of Christ. We need only go to Jesus, and we can find the strength to live our lives, honor our commitments, and glorify our God. And yet we cannot go to Jesus and rest our heads on his shoulder as John, the beloved disciple, did. And we will not see Jesus in the sense that Mary Magdalene did on that first resurrection morning. My sisters and my brothers, we are the body of Christ. And one can easily conclude that those who are weary are to come to us to find the rest that is in Jesus. And who is not weary? With more than 4,500 Americans dead and more than 50,000 wounded, the longest war our country has known, a war that still has not ended, with billions of dollars spent, with billions of dollars and equipment lost, stolen, or unaccounted for, who is not weary? Evil may have always stalked the land, but the burden of our internet world makes it possible for us to be very quickly repulsed by the horrendous sight of a California Highway Patrol officer beating a defenseless woman as she lay on the ground. Evil may have always stalked the land, but the burden of our internet world makes it possible for us to even be forced to consider the unimaginable. Did a parent deliberately leave his child to die in a hot car while he trolled the web for nothing more than the pleasures of the flesh made empty and evil by dishonor and degradation? If we would be the comfort of Christ, we cannot come to church and only speak to those to whom we have spoken before. For who among us does not need or benefit from kindness and attention? If God's people are to find His rest in us, can we ignore the hungry, turn our backs on the naked, and only respect those with whom we agree? We are not here today to find Jesus. For Jesus was wherever we were when we came here, and He will be with us wherever we go when we leave. We come to church to worship God in community. We come to church to worship God in community, to build the beloved community. And we worship God best when we love, and when we love as God loves, without compromise, without complaint, without condition. We come to church to worship God in community. We come to church to build the beloved community. And we do that when we love, and when we love as God loves, without compromise, without complaint, without condition. God has given me yet another great blessing in the birth this past April 29th, just 68 days ago, of my first grandchild, my granddaughter, Ava. And while it appears I will have the pleasure and privilege of baptizing her, it is much less certain that I will be physically present if and when her father walks her down the aisle to marry the man or woman with whom she will be joined in holy matrimony. Whether present in spirit or in a body weeping, my hope for Ava, my prayer for her, is that her union will be like the one that is referenced in the lesson from Genesis this morning. The scripture says of Isaac, he took Rebekah and she became his wife, and he loved her. And he loved her. Who among us, even in love, dare to think that we could not do a better job of loving those we say we love? Who among us dares to put our respect, our affection on automatic pilot? As the people we cherish are consistently bombarded, made weary by a world not focused on Christ. How often do we show courtesies and kindnesses to strangers that we withhold from those we love? I require that the Richmond City Jail residents in the alcohol and substance abuse recovery program that I lead stand and applaud whenever a female deputy or civilian approaches our tier. I insist upon this because we live in a country where every 12 seconds a woman is physically or sexually assaulted. We live in a country where gay and lesbian teenagers are taking their own lives at an increasing rate. Yes, we live in one of the great civilizations the world has ever known, but our 238 years have not been long enough for us to evolve beyond the horror that every day in America, 4 women die from domestic violence. Our residents must stand and show respect. out of a heartfelt desire that doing so daily in jail will empower them to show a deep respect in some form to the women in their lives and the women who live once they're out of jail. We are what we do, and we become what we practice. If we are in the habit of withholding affection, being judgmental, or simply being unfriendly, those behaviors become our lives. I shall never forget the sight of my nephew Maury, now 6'9" tall, but at the time of this memory, just a little boy of 5. The main aisle in Rockefeller Chapel on the University of Chicago campus is very, very long. And it must have seemed extremely so to Maury on that Saturday morning that his aunt and my sister were getting married. He was walking nervously up the aisle, carrying a pillow that had symbolic rings affixed to it. When suddenly, his composure gone, he ran up the aisle, straight to his Uncle Lonnie, seeking the comfort of my embrace amidst the groomsmen standing near the altar. I had not said, "Come to me, Maury," at that moment, but he clearly felt that I had said it numerous times before, whether playing games with him in the backyard or reading him stories from his favorite book. I pray God we each become those someones to whom God's people run when they are anxious or afraid or feel not good enough. I pray we do not run to Jesus without understanding that God intends for people to run to us when life, as Langston Hughes put it, ain't been no crystal stair. And how will people come to us, run to us, if we are not merciful and forgiving? Isn't it true that we run to Jesus, we go to Jesus, because we know that our Lord forgives sins? A poor widow's son had been charged with a crime that was punishable by death. She thought if only she could see the emperor, she could beg for her son's life. But her attempts to get inside the palace were rebuffed because of her poverty and the condescension of the officials of the emperor's court. One day she learned that the emperor would be leaving the palace to go to his summer home. She got as near the gate as she could, and as the emperor came out to get into the carriage that would take him to his respite, she cried out, "Mercy, mercy, great one, mercy for my son." The court officials ordered her to be silent, but Napoleon had heard her. "Bring the woman to me," the emperor ordered. When brought to him, the woman fell before the emperor on her knees and begged for her son's life. A court official then whispered in Napoleon's ear. The king nodded his head knowingly. "Mercy, great one, mercy for my son," the woman said again. "Your son does not deserve mercy," said the emperor. "Yes, great one," said the woman, "but it would not be mercy if he deserved it." And with that, the woman's son's life was saved. Jesus does not say, "Come to me if you have been good." Jesus does not say, "Come to me if you are heterosexual." Jesus does not say, "Come to me if you have good manners, good taste, or good judgment." Jesus says, "Come to me." If Christ is our King, we too must live and love in such ways that people feel welcome and free to come to us. For my little Ava, and for all the Avas and Alexes in creation, We offer respect, forgiveness, and mercy, for what is love without them? And how can we come to Christ if others cannot come to us? In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, Amen.
Amen.